Two dueling directors showed up for work this morning at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The CFPB was created after the 2008 financial crisis to protect consumers in financial markets and has been unpopular with banks ever since. On Friday, the director of the Bureau, Richard Cordray, who is the founding director, resigned, and President Trump named Budget Director Mick Mulvaney, who has called the CFPB a joke, as interim director of the Bureau. But before leaving his post, Cordray had appointed his chief of staff, Leandra English, as deputy director. And English has now sued the president, claiming that as deputy, she becomes interim director, and the president does not have the right to appoint a temporary director. Here to talk with us about this battle over the leadership of the CFPB are Adam White, a research fellow at the Hoover Institution, and Dalia Jimenez, a professor at the University of Connecticut School of Law, who is a founding staff member of the CFPB. Dalia, Budget Director Mulvaney showed up apparently with Dunkin' Donuts this morning to work, issued a memo to the staff saying to ignore any directives that they're given by the deputy who is now claiming to be the temporary director, Leandra English. Ms. English has filed a lawsuit against the president, against Mr. Mulvaney, claiming that she should be in charge. What is her argument in court that she should be the director when the president has made this appointment?
Well, briefly, her argument is that Dodd-Frank itself, the law that created the CFPB, provides for a mechanism by which someone becomes the acting director if the director is unavailable, and that this applies in this situation, that basically she has the rightful claim to be in the deputy acting director, and that President Trump cannot, excuse the expression, trump that statute by using other authorities.
Adam, there's that old expression that possession is 9/10 of the law. Mulvaney is at his desk. They tweeted photos of him at his desk. He sent out some emails to his staff to say not to listen to any emails that English has sent. Does it seem like he's in the superior position because he is on the job?
Well, I think that you're right. Possession is 9/10 of the law, and the fact that he's there having very pleasant meetings with his senior staff really helps the OMB Director Mulvaney sort of cement his claim to the office. But the law is really 10/10 of the law. And in this case, the law happens to be on the director's side. So far, and my friend has discussed a provision of Dodd-Frank. But what she didn't discuss is the Federal Vacancies Reform Act, which is actually a much more specific statute that empowers the president to seat Mulvaney as acting director. The Dodd-Frank provision is important, and if President Trump hadn't designated Mulvaney under the Vacancies Act to take this position, then it's true, Deputy Director English would be authorized to occupy the seat on an acting basis. But the appointment or the designation of Mulvaney ends the matter, and that's what the Justice Department found. It's also actually what the CFPB's own general counsel found in a memo last night, agreeing with President Trump's designation and disagreeing with the deputy director.
Well, Dalia, you know, the Justice Department legal counsel did opine that the president has the authority under the Vacancies Reform Act to appoint an interim director here. Why is it that, Ms. English thinks that the Dodd-Frank Act would overrule that?
Well, I mean, it is about reading the two statutes and how they are to be read together. I do think that this is not as straightforward. There are good arguments on both sides. Let's put it that way. I'm in agreement with Ms. English that her argument wins, but it's not, a slam dunk by any means. The question here is whether the Vacancies Reform Act can be used as an alternative procedure for installing an acting director, alternative to the Dodd-Frank's own procedure, which is the one that installed English as the acting director. And all of the basis by which the OSC memo and the general counsel, the CFPB's general counsel's own memo used to make that argument, it's really about they're using similar statutes and one case that actually pertained to statutes that were applicable at the time that the Vacancies Reform Act was passed. And the Dodd-Frank and the CFPB just isn't one of those. It was passed after. It is, I think that whether it's more specific, in the sort of argument that the general, that specific beats the general, I think it's arguable too. Dodd-Frank specifically is talking about who should be the acting director of the CFPB. And so it is an argument about which one of these statutes basically trumps the other.
Adam, is this just about it being the interim director? Because Trump could, of course, nominate a permanent director, and the Senate could confirm that. Would that end the situation?
That's right. This is all just about the orderly transition on an acting basis while the next sort of fully appointed director is seated. And I expect President Trump to nominate somebody, and the Senate will then review that nomination. Of course, if the Senate goes into a full recess in December, it's possible President Trump will use a recess appointment to appoint the CFPB director, which, of course, would be ironic. Director Cordray, the original appointee, was originally put in office by President Obama in a group of recess appointments that were later declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, unanimously declared unconstitutional. But if President Trump does it the right way, waits for a genuine recess of the Senate, then he could this winter appoint a director by recess appointment and then move forward with a full nomination and appointment for a five-year term.
We're talking about the fight over who should be in charge of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. President Trump's interim appointee, Mick Mulvaney, who is also the director of the Office of Management and Budget, or the deputy director, Leandra English, who outgoing director Richard Cordray appointed as deputy director in the hope that she would become interim director once he stepped down on Friday. There's a lawsuit going on that Ms. English has filed to stop Mr. Mulvaney from running the agency. We're talking with Dalia Jimenez of the University of Connecticut School of Law, who is also a founding staff member of the Bureau, about the lawsuit and what the implications are for the Bureau itself. Dalia, it's going to, you've got a lot of disruption here with one person coming in saying he's the director, another person saying she's the director and suing. Budget Director Mulvaney put out a memo today saying that staffers should not listen to Ms. English when she gives out orders. What's going to happen now at the agency while this plays itself out in court?
Yeah, I think it is. It must be very confusing for everyone there, not really sure what to do. And what should happen, I would hope, is that a temporary restraining order is, issued soon with regards to the lawsuit that Ms. English filed, such that basically the court has a chance to determine who is the rightful person in the position, and that nothing that is done in the meantime sort of suffers from the class out of uncertainty or further cloud of uncertainty. I'm not sure, I would have expected it possibly by now just as a placeholder, that would be my, I think that would ease the difficulties here if it did happen.
Professor Noah Feldman wrote a column for Bloomberg View saying that the suit is a partisan maneuver, and it detracts from the seriousness of the effort to keep executive power in check where it matters. Do you agree with that? Because we're talking about executive power in this particular instance, and we could, if it goes to court completely, we could have a decision that upholds executive power in a way that we don't want it to.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that could be what ends up happening. I think the entire thing, which really was started by President Trump, because Director Cordray had to nominate someone, and he did so first, to act in his stead after he left. The entire thing, I think, is really a distraction from the fact that the CFPB itself is a very effective agency that is doing exactly what it was created to do, work for consumers to stop illegal actions by financial services. services companies. And this is, you know, and really this is putting someone who might end up being in charge, Mulvaney, who has a full-time job as director of the Office of Management and Budget, which is an agency of the executive office of the president, you know, that is not independent, is really just a way to, I think, undermine what the agency is supposed to be doing. And I think really goes against what the president ought to be doing, which is to execute the laws that have been, that are, you know, currently in force, meaning Dodd-Frank.
Well, does, is there any legal argument that arises out of the fact that this is supposed, that, you know, the director normally has a 5-year term, can only be removed for inefficiency or, you know, dereliction of duty, that sort of thing. That's not the exact language, but that's the basic idea. And it seems to set it up as an independent agency. Is there any legal implication of that in terms of when the president should be able to appoint an interim director?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is what Barney Frank has said, you know, Frank and Dodd-Frank, that the intent was that, you know, to insulate the position from the whims of the presidency as much as legally possible. And it's, in this case, we don't just have the president doing something that may be, you know, arguably illegal, that is, that he's not following the statute Dodd-Frank, but he's also putting someone in place who explicitly has called the Bureau a sick joke and who doesn't believe it needs to, it exists. And so that's really just, you know, taking it to the next level, I think.
Do you believe that the work of the agency will come to a stop or almost a halt with a new director appointed by Trump?
I'm not sure. I mean, there are, you know, over 1,000 people working at the agency. They have lots of things that they, you know, want to do and are doing. I think big forward-facing or public-facing functions may halt, frankly, like any, you know, and also because of the uncertainty, but just because, you know, if Mulvaney does remain the director, he will be someone who apparently does not want the agency to be effective. So I think he'll try his best to stop that. And I'll say this morning, I spent most of the morning downloading data and reports from the CFPB website myself, you know, worried, like it's happened with the EPA and other agencies, that basically these things will be pulled unilaterally, these reports and data that were created by a federal agency using taxpayer dollars and are useful to researchers.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You don't often have an agency with two people both claiming to be in charge, and we'll see what happens in the lawsuit in court. I'm sure this isn't the last we'll be talking about this on Bloomberg Law. Our thanks to Dalia Jimenez of the University of Connecticut School of Law, and also to Adam White, a research fellow at the Hoover Institution, for being here today with us on the program.